Today we have with us Dr. Annie Booth to speak about the West Coast Olefins plastic plant and too close to home. Would you be able to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Annie Booth. I am a full professor at the University of Northern British Columbia in the Environmental and Sustainability Studies program, and I am a resident of Prince George, and I have lived here for 27 years.
That's great. And so, would you be able to tell us what Too Close to Home is and how it began, as well as who's involved in the movement?
Sure. Too Close to Home began a few years back when West Coast Olefins first submitted a proposal to develop a complex of plastic plants in the Prince George region, and a number of concerned residents of Prince George came together, developed a Facebook page and presence to encourage polite and rational discussion around a plant, which we had some legitimate concerns about. Since then, it has grown to about 689 members on the Facebook page, plus a number of other people who don't actively participate, but are certainly concerned, and a few non-government organizations as well, such as PACHA, who are concerned about the proposed plant.
Okay, and so could you give us a brief synopsis of the history of the West Coast Olefins plastic plant and how it'll potentially influence Prince George?
Well, the history is a tad unclear, and that is actually part of our concern. And so a few years back, the West Coast Olefins came to Prince George and proposed what is a complex of plastic plants that would essentially utilize natural gas and bring in plastics to recycle and put out a number of products, mostly plastic pellets that would be shipped out to various places. They then encountered some opposition. I think, as well as other people who were not clearly as receptive as they thought they would be. They then bounced out to another locale, engaged with some of the indigenous nations to see if they would be interested, then went out to Kitimat to see if Kitimat would be interested. That proposal disappeared. Since then, last year, both McLeod Lake and the Kletlitene First Nations, McLeod Lake had been in negotiations with West Coast Olefins, have since said they want nothing to do with the project, and lo and behold, West Coast Olefins is back talking about establishing its complex of plastic plants in Prince George. So why they targeted Prince George, why they came out here, they're clearly an Alberta-based company, that is unclear. Their website isn't particularly forthcoming on their rationale for Prince George, but they have submitted, I've started the environmental assessment process in British Columbia, and have made presentations to City Council, etc. So since they announced they were arriving back in Prince George late last year, there's been dead silence. So we don't know where the proposal sits, but we remain vigilant and quite concerned about the fact that this kind of plant and set of plants could end up literally in our home, where the area that we live, and a little too close to most of our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. And so, touching on that a bit more, what are some of the primary factors to do with the plant that Too Close to Home is concerned with?
A number of them, frankly, have to do with the pollution, and there are a number of potential pollutants that have the potential to be produced by this plant. Certainly, you can look at comparator plants in Red Deer and in the south of the U.S. to look at the sort of cancer-causing and other concerning pollutants that can come out. There's certainly air pollution, volatile organic compounds, a number of fine particulates and ultrafines, nanoparticles, all of which remain in the air, and as I'm sure people in Prince George are aware, Prince George has a compromised airshed already, and indeed the last few days have shown very concerning levels of particulates in the air, And that leads to greater mortality and morbidity, you know, sickness and death in residents of Prince George. And we don't see that a already sensitive airshed really can absorb more pollutants that this plastic plant might put out. We note that the proposed sites in Prince George are literally just 2 kilometers from Lower College Heights, where I happen to live and a number of us happen to live. Mm-hmm. And that sort of pollution really doesn't stay in one site. There's the real risk of contamination to the land of chemicals from accidental spills, but as well a significant fugitive plastic pellet and dust issue. We already know that a huge number of ecosystems around the world are contaminated with plastics. Indeed, we now find that unborn babies actually are at risk from their mothers having plastics in their body. And we have actually seen autopsies of individuals who have died who have significant microplastic contamination. Whether it led to their death or not, nobody really wants to be walking around with a great deal of plastic. We also have issues of water pollution, since they will be adjacent to the navigable waterways of the Fraser and the Nechako. They're also going to be a huge consumer of water, and the average seems to be about 25 swimming pools of clean water per hour to operate. Prince George is very blessed in terms of having clean and abundant water from its aquifers, but this plant would draw water with no restrictions, and at this point, it's very unclear that we would be be able to continue to meet our domestic requirements as well as supply what is essentially a water hog at a time when water is already under pressure in Canada. Mm-hmm. And frankly around the world. Then there's the associated road and rail construction as trains and trucks come in bearing the raw materials that they're going to be processing and then heading out. There are certainly risks of industrial spills. Anywhere you look, industrial complexes are at high risk, no matter what the level of their cutting-edge technology, and I just used air quotes around that. Spills, industrial accidents, they are a reality, and those spills and industrial accidents will actually affect residents. The other group that they're very likely to affect are the workers in the plant, who will be exposed to some significant contamination themselves. And the use of ongoing use of plastics and emissions at a point where we already see significant plastics contamination around the world, and frankly, an ongoing contribution to our worsening climate crisis through the emissions of this plant. All of that leads to some significant environmental concerns as well as social concerns around the health impacts to residents and to workers, as well as social development impacts. For example, we don't see Prince George continuing to be an attractive city that it brings in increasing numbers of people looking for a lifestyle and a way of living that is going to be attracted to essentially the North Cancer Alley. Mm-hmm. I work at UNBC. I have some significant concerns about whether students will continue to arrive at a university that is situated next to a heavy industrial plant when we already have trouble recruiting students who, you know, find the air pollution to be a bit much. So all of the advances socially and culturally that the city has made and their commitment to sustainability, which is still on their website, appear to be at risk with this proposed plant, and it seems to be widely out of line where the city itself, as well as many of the residents, have seen Prince George's trajectory into the future as a desirable and vibrant place to live, to raise children, to retire to. And that's just a little sketch of the main concerns.
And so who specifically do you want to heed these concerns?
Well, the company itself has dismissed Too Close to Home as a fringe group. I don't personally consider almost 700 people actively involved and a number of NGOs actively involved to be fringe, but so be it. Certainly the province of British Columbia would have to sign off on this development happening through the environmental assessment process. But we'd also like the city of Prince George to understand that this is not the sort of development that many people are seeking. We acknowledge the need for jobs. We acknowledge the need for development to continue to bring people in. But I think many of us feel that Prince George could economically develop in much more fruitful, productive ways that preserves this as a desirable place to live and work and raise children, without succumbing to the sort of heavy industry it's old-fashioned, it's dinosaur. I mean, plastics and oil and gas are on the way out. They don't allow us to actually comply with our commitments internationally on climate change. And it certainly doesn't take Prince George or northern British Columbia, which will be subject to much of the same pollution through air, travel and water contamination. This is not the sort of development we think is appropriate for Prince George.
Mm-hmm, that's fair. And so, sort of on the flip side, what are, if any, some of the reasons that you think could potentially warrant the plant being built in the Prince George area?
There's a lot of argument and interest in the potential jobs, the complex of plants, and it isn't just the one plant. If you look at the full proposal, they're actually talking about 7 potential industrial plants being developed in association with all of this. But everybody looks at that and says, oh ho, we need jobs. These will be, theoretically good paying jobs. That evidence isn't really there. For example, they will cite the number of jobs that are included in construction, for example, but construction stops at some point. It's unclear the number of people that would be required to operate the plant in an ongoing way, particularly if this is a highly technical plant with lots of automation that probably doesn't meet a whole lot of jobs, and frankly we have not seen any evidence that those jobs would go to people currently in Prince George, given that many of them are going to be technical sorts of jobs. But I think the argument is it brings in some tax base because it develops some land that is currently undeveloped. It brings in additional jobs, but the realities of that have yet to be proven anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Would you be less concerned about the plant if it were to be built in those other proposed spots previously mentioned north of Prince George, and why or why not?
No, I would continue to be concerned. Obviously, it's no longer in my backyard, but to be honest, it's in somebody's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the interest in growth of green technology, the fact that some very respected economic agencies have suggested that there are millions of jobs to be had with investment in clean and green technology, suggests that while we do have some issues to deal with in terms of how we address plastics pollution and remediation, saying this is the future wave of industry is frankly inappropriate. We should be looking at more green, clean technologies, jobs that contribute to alternative energy sources, different ways of living. There's a lot of economic development potential in that, but of course, aren't really seeing that. This is a very old-fashioned kind of development that's being proposed, rather than looking ahead to where the world is headed.
Mm-hmm. And so, going back to too close to home for a moment, would you be able to elaborate on some of the ways that the organization has tried to raise awareness of these aforementioned issues in the past?
Certainly. We have a very active Facebook presence. We are, the year before, 2019, UNBC planning classes hosted a public engagement where we had about 100 people participate to talk about their concerns and their support, which was very little for this plastics plant. We are talking about holding another public engagement in the face of the city failing to hold a public engagement. Too close to home is willing to step up, run another public engagement in which we can allow people to express their thoughts about this proposed plant, both plus and minus, mm-hmm. Probably in the late spring, early summer, although clearly that's likely to be online rather than in person. We are also hosting the viewing of The Story of Plastic, which is a film put out by the the story of plastic people, which just talks about the ongoing costs of plastics pollution and the impacts. And so if people are interested, they can email me. We'll send them the film link. And we have a panel discussion with some very exciting guests being confirmed that's coming up at the end of the month, all of which is really dedicated to raising awareness about the ongoing local and global concerns about the love of plastic and the issues of groups like West Coast Olefins, and in point of fact, you know, city councils around the world saying, you know, this is the sort of development that we will tolerate close to our residents.
Mm-hmm. What are some resources that, you guys would suggest to anyone who's interested in learning more about the issue or getting involved in some of what you've mentioned?
Certainly coming to find us on Facebook, just 2TOO, close to as a numeral home, on Facebook. One of the things that we have is a very active group that sources out a lot of very different information around plastics in general, concerns around plastics, health impacts, studies around things like the airshed in Prince George, as well as citing things that come in through West Coast Olefins. The other thing that we invite people to do is go take a look at West Coast Olefins and on their website and take a look at what they are. I mean, as far as we can tell, they are literally a three-person company that shares office space with another oil and gas company. We are a little concerned about their lack of a track record. All of that is very evident if you do some research on their website. And so we're a good place to start, but there's a lot of information around on the plastics issues, and we would invite people certainly come start with us, take a look at the resources we post, maybe participate in the Story of Plastic film showing and panel discussion, and take it from there.
Okay. Thank you very much for doing this interview with us.
Delighted to.